Information fueled, opinion driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
2:05 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show. Number of different stories working right now. Of course, we have the situation in Ohio. We will keep you updated on that investigation as it continues to develop. All eyes, of course, also on the campaign of Donald Trump. I guess it's not a campaign anymore. We're talking about the administration to be of Donald Trump. Let's check in with David Zanotti, host of the Public Square, heard on over 200 radio stations across America, and with the American Policy Roundtable. David, always appreciate you being here. So a number of major stories working from the political standpoint of Donald Trump. There's a lot of discussion over the past several days as far as Mitt Romney goes and should he be Secretary of State. And also we have the situation with the recount in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Clinton supporters and Clinton herself saying that she performed 7% worse in counties that used electronic voting machines versus paper ballot counties. They say that that could be a sign of hacking. I say this is just another attempt by the Democrats to, I think, delegitimize perhaps Donald Trump and his victory. But what are your thoughts here?
Dan, part of it is just to laugh out loud. I mean, the irony of all of this, I can't say it's hypocrisy because the progressive mindset doesn't really give you room for hypocrisy. But the irony of it is extraordinary that the same people who were aghast at Donald Trump saying, I'm not really sure I'm going to believe these results until I've seen them with my own eyes and know that they're real. And they accused him of course, standing against the entirety of the American enterprise. And now they're raising millions and millions of dollars to chase fantasies, but in reality to simply do, I think, is what you've suggested. Work to constantly create a conspiratorial rhetoric that says Donald Trump is not my president. He stole the election, and they basically are the rightful heirs, and they've already started their 2020 campaign.
But see, to me, I think, and I mentioned this in the 12 o'clock hour, David, to me, I think the more that the Democrats do this, I think the more the American people are frankly going to get a little pissed off. Because we are, you know, I'm sorry for using such language, but I mean, honestly, at what point do the rest of the American people say, you know what, I understand this was a very contentious election, and I just saw yet another study out or whatever it is that shows that Americans are more divided than ever. But I think that Americans, at least those in the middle, maybe even those more mainstream Democrats, and certainly those who are conservative, even if you're an establishment Republican, I think at this point, you're sick and tired of the protests. You're sick and tired of Jill Stein raising $7 million to have these recounts in these three states. And you're tired now of Hillary saying one thing and then doing another. And so I think that the more that Democrats do this and liberal Democrats do this, I think that the more that they do this, the more the rest of America is going to look at them with scorn and disdain, because I think a lot of Americans looked at what happened, say, for example, during that play Hamilton and what they did to Mike Pence. I think that the media probably ate that up, and I think liberals ate that up. But for a lot of Americans, including, I think, some Democrats, probably look at that and just shake their heads.
Well, Dan, what you're really talking about is the common sense of most people in the country that do the working and the praying and the crying and the dying out here where we all live, as opposed to the people that are isolated on the coasts.
Yep.
And, you know, the narrative for the progressive left is that they won this election. Well, the truth of the matter is it's only an election that they won in their own minds because they continue to act as if this is not an election of 50 states with an electoral college, but it's a popular vote mechanism. That's what they want to believe because their margins are so big in California. It's just this simple. When people say Hillary Clinton won the popular vote, yeah, she won it in California. She's got a 3 million vote margin in California. Did that come as a surprise to anybody? But what does winning one state by a bunch of votes have to do with the other 49 states? And that's what it really comes down to, because in swing states, she lost six states that she was supposed to win. They can't deal with that because in their mind, they don't want to deal with it.
Do you think that Hillary, this is where I get conspiratorial, but I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory or not, but we know that Green Party candidate Jill Stein, she has been the one that has really been leading this effort for a recount in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Do you think, though, that Hillary may have put Jill Stein up to this, and now Hillary is like, well, okay, I'll go ahead and jump in with Jill Stein, but it was really Hillary behind the scenes that were pushing Jill Stein to do this all along?
Dan, I'm going to tell you something about what I've learned in 40 years in politics on the right and on the left. Candidates are usually half their own makeup and half the money. And what I mean by that is, yes, the Clinton machine is an aggressive political machine that's been in the business for 40 years, but they don't get anywhere on their own money. They started with none. They didn't have any for a long time. And all that they've got is what other people have given them. They haven't sold anything. They don't come from any wealth. The money pushes the candidates and it pushes the campaigns. This money is now pushing toward the 2020 election. They're done with Mrs. Clinton. But the people who want the next presidency are moving money around now to line up the war against the Republicans. It's all about the money and what money players are trying to influence the system. I mean, for that matter, no one talks about John Podesta and the dominance that he's had in the Democratic administrations since Bill Clinton, and still remains. That was the guy that went out on election night and said, I'll see you in the morning. We'll still be at this. Well, guess what? Huh. He was still at it the next morning. He was at it for 2020. And the money flow from John Podesta is one primary source, and that's George Soros. And I'm not making this stuff up, and this isn't regurgitated Glenn Beck bad dreams. Right. This is simple political historical fact.
Could this backfire on the Democrats from a political standpoint? Because earlier I was talking about from almost like a PR standpoint, but now from a political standpoint, I'm wondering if this could backfire on the Democrats asking for recounts in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, because we know that there are many Democrats that are trying to figure out a way to work with Donald Trump in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. And Trump has reciprocated, and there are reports that President Obama has even said that he supports accepting Trump's nomination. So this is one of those things where I think that if the Democrats push this recount, Trump could say, okay, you know what? I'm tired of these olive branches being thrown back in my face with nothing but a middle finger. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to appoint that special prosecutor to look at Hillary Clinton's email situation. And I'm not going to work with you Democrats. And in other words, any goodwill that is in Washington right now with the Democrats trying to work with Donald Trump and vice versa, that could be thrown out the window. And Trump, because he's getting really angry about this stuff, as we've seen from his tweets, he might just say, screw you, Republicans, I'm ready to fight. And if this is the way you want to go in, coming up on January, whatever it is, 20th, if this is what you want to do, if this is the state of Washington that you want when I get into office, then let's go.
Well, I don't think that there's any, excuse me, I don't think there's any illusion on the part of the people that are closest to Donald Trump that there are no Democrats left who want common ground. Now, that misnomer is always broadcast by the media, not talking about you, but by the television networks and the New York Times, because the way that the common ground always works is whenever the conservative comes to their side. In other words, the conservative says X, they say Y, and they decide that unless you go with Y, then you're a bad, evil person, and the conservatives always fold. Now, whether Trump's going to fall into that mechanism or not, I don't know. But to think that Kellyanne Conway and Bannon and the others would fall for that stuff, that they know this game. They know this routine. So I don't think that there really is, to be honest with you, Dan, I don't think there's any hope of common ground with the Democrats. That left a long time ago. The people that are in those offices want one thing. They want power, and they know power doesn't come from compromise. They don't want solutions. They want power. They don't care about solutions. They live for power. Now, yeah. Donald Trump's got a different paradigm. He's a problem solver. He doesn't need this power. If he starts solving problems without these people, then they've got a big problem on their hands. That's why they want to discredit him.
Yeah, and I think that right now, speaking of his administration and the people that Donald Trump is surrounding himself with, I think the most anticipated role we're all waiting for is, will Mitt Romney become Secretary of State? We're hearing reports of high-level debate and disagreement inside the Trump camp. Mike Huckabee, David, as you know, came out and said that it would be an insult to Trump supporters after what Romney said about Trump. Kellyanne Conway basically came out and said the same thing. What are your thoughts on this? Is going to be a two-part question. What are your thoughts on Mitt Romney as a Secretary of State? That's part one. But part two is, what are your thoughts on this infighting within the Trump camp? Do you think that Trump is appreciating this? So if there really is infighting, and it seems like there is, do you think Trump enjoys the infighting as all part of the process? Or is he, as some would say, I wouldn't say this, but as some would say, losing control of the of his administration already?
Well, for starters, anybody who thinks they've got control of the presidency and the administration is really only fooling themselves. That's for starters. Secondly, anybody who thinks they can read into the mind of Donald Trump is really doing a much better job than me, because I think he's just happy to be there, and I'm not sure that he has any clue how he's going to play the game. And as far as, I mean, not that he doesn't have opinions, right, but what's in front of him? He's going to wake up every day in a new world. I mean, he was doing that before he was president of the United States. This is just going to be all the more so. So, I mean, people can't quite get this in context. We all have our fantasies about what it's like to be president. This guy has no clue, and neither do any of his people. Until you've been there, you don't know. So they'll be figuring it out each step along the way. As far as Mitt Romney goes, I'm going to tell you two things. One about the recount, then second about Romney. As far as the recount goes, I hope they recount everything. I wish they do a full investigation on the systemic fraud inside our system of voting that is there. And it's there because of the progressives, and nobody's got the courage to say it out loud and look at it. I think Trump ought to get behind the recount, give them a couple million more, and say, go for the whole thing. Do it all. Let's get it all purged out.
That's isn't that basically, David, what Trump, he tweeted out, I think it was last night or this morning, that he won the popular vote when you take out all of the illegal votes. So that kind of goes along with what you were saying. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's go for it. Go the whole way. See, the thing with the Republicans and the conservatives is they never call the bluff of these progressives. They always cower. Give him $10 million. Write him a check. Double down on Jill Stein's money and say, let's get it all. I'll put a team together. Let's do it together. They would run for the hills. And as far as Mitt Romney goes, who cares? The Secretary of State exists to carry out the objectives of the administration, not to invent them. The Secretary of State is a secretary. They are a person that carries the messages and listens and comes back. Who cares who the Secretary of State is? And, you know, Romney, he looks the part. That's what Trump said. He's a fine man. It's Trump's choice, because whoever gets the job's got to do what Trump wants done anyhow. So who cares?
Trump says, last question to David Zanotti, and a lot of these, this next question is something that came out over the Thanksgiving holiday, so now we're kind of playing catch-up. Trump says there is no conflict of interest between his soon-to-be presidency and his massive business empire. As you may recall, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, part of the narrative was that there were some that were calling for Donald Trump to literally sell his business empire, which I don't even think that you can do that. But Trump said in his interview with the New York Times that he could run both if he wanted to. He could run his business and he could run the country and do so perfectly. Now, from what I understand, there are no rules stating that Trump has to give up his business, but some Democrats want him to do just this. What can Trump do at this point to put everyone's mind at ease? Because it seems to me, especially now with this whole recount situation, if I were Trump, I would give, you know, and this is going to sound crass, but I'd give two middle fingers right back at these Democrats. But what can Trump do to put everyone's mind at ease regarding his business?
Well, I can tell you're feeling much better than you were last week.
I was. David knows that I worked a lot over the 4 days, and I lost my voice and my hearing and everything else. But I'm a little bit more persnickety today. So you're absolutely right, David. So
here's what it comes down to. Donald Trump shouldn't do anything the Democrats demand. And anytime they set the standards and they set the rules, they should listen and say, that's interesting. Thank you very much. And keep doing exactly what he should be doing. The most interesting question that you're asking, though, has to do with the reality of, what was the question you asked, Dan?
How can he put the Democrats' mind at ease regarding this conflict of interest between his business and the running?
Interest. Yeah. That's why it was so interesting. Conflict of interest. Look, this is what is so interesting about this. Trump is the first since George Washington. We've never had a president like Trump, never someone who's not been in elected office, a cabinet member, or a general. That means he's a businessman, like Washington was a businessman who came into office. Did George Washington give up Mount Vernon? No, he didn't. That's the only precedent that we have. So it's been that long since we've had a genuine citizen in the office.
Right.
There are no rules. Let the man screw it up. If he's going to go do it and screw it up, let him screw it up. But for goodness sakes, don't pretend that there's some rule book he's got to follow just because jealous people who aren't as rich as him are mad because now he's rich, successful, and the flipping president of the United States.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've said this for a long time. We've had established politicians who have done everything, quote unquote, the right way, and we're, you know, trillions in debt. We have illegal immigration. We have terrorism and everything else. So we have a lot of problems in this country, even though we've had these so-called, quote unquote, well-respected politicians who have done everything the right way. So I agree with you in the sense that Donald Trump, he's a businessman. Why not try something new? Speaking of trying something new, David, Christmas in America on the public square is coming up December 1st of 2016 at Lipscomb University. We've been playing the promos now for a couple of days. And I got to tell you, I myself, I'm very much looking forward to Christmas with Fanny Crosby. And basically, the show is it revisiting Christmas from 1915?
Yeah, we always set the time machine, Dan. So we'll go back and talk about 1915. Like, for example, did you know 1915 was the year Babe Ruth hit his first home run?
I knew that.
You knew that? I didn't know that.
Okay, very good.
All kinds of stuff about 1915 that are interesting, including the fact that that was the year our first progressive president was actually elected, Woodrow Wilson. But we set the time machine, and then the reason that we went back to 1915 is that was the year that Fanny Crosby died. And 6 hours before her death, she wrote her last hymn. Now, there's a whole library of Christmas carols and hymns that she had written that have disappeared completely. They were published in hymn books, haven't been seen for 150 years. We went out and found 7 or 8 of those wonderful songs and then had the best Christmas songwriters we could find from the United States and Europe come together and put together brand new music to these songs. And now we've got leading artists from all over the country, and particularly here in Nashville, performing them live for the very first time with the brand new album. I just talked to the album producing company that albums are being put in the boxes right now to be shipped to Nashville on time for this Thursday night at 7 o'clock at Lipscomb. So people are going to have a chance at wonderful, historic, content-filled lyrics of Christmas with new Christmas music and some old standbys as well. So it's going to be a great, inspiring show. Nothing like it. One shot. It's unique. It's a world premiere of an album, a world premiere of a new music video by David Phelps, who performed one of these songs for us just this weekend at his barn here in Tennessee, and that will go out around the world. So it's a great opportunity for you and your family and your kids to see a Christmas show that will only happen once in your lifetime, the 1915 commemoration of Fanny Crosby's work in brand-new Christmas music.
Very cool.
Thepublicsquare.com. Thepublicsquare.com is where you get tickets online. It's a snap. And they're really cheap, $15 for adults and only $10 for students.
Very cool, David Zanotti. Can't wait to see you on Thursday. And thanks, as always, for your help here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Yeah, man, I got sick like you wouldn't believe over the Thanksgiving holiday. I lost my voice. I lost my hearing. And
what?
And I'm trying to do radio shows across, and it was horrible.
Aww.
Everything that possibly could have gone wrong over the past 4 days with my health could have gone wrong for a broadcaster, because we all know that hearing is kind of important when you're on the radio. And so
what?
I still have this. I know. It wasn't that funny the second time around, just so you know.
Everybody's laughing but you.
Oh, well, that's because it's happening to me. everything in my head. I don't know what it is. But my hearing, it got clogged up in my right ear. And now everything in my ear just sounds a little crunchy. And I've tried 2 or 3 different sets of headphones. And so I think that nobody cares about this, but I'm compensating for my weirdness in my hearing with my voice. And then that's messing with my head. I don't know what the H-E double toothpicks is going on with me.
I don't know how you're compensating with your voice because you sound exactly the same.
It's all in my head.
Yep.
That's exact.
Literally.
But it's driving me nuts, and I can't figure out how to fix whatever is going on with my hearing, and it's affecting my thinking, and it's just...
I have a hammer.
Can you just hit me over the head with it?
I would like to hit you with it.
Just
I think that could help.
Kind of reset the whole brain
Please?
Thing going on there? I'm sure...
It'd be Christmas for me. That would be my Christmas bonus.
Would that be a Christmas bonus? Very
yes.
good. Thank you. That's very nice. I'll tell you what you can do with the claw part of the hammer. Anyway, it's 2:20. Moving right along, it's 2:25 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Two 36 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. By the way, you can always chime in, 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. You can also check out the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. At Dan Mandis Show is also where you can find me on Twitter. Now, I want to bring in Kathy Hinders one more time. Kathy, very much appreciate you jumping back on with us. So I'm going to ask you, what is this guy's name? We're just a real brief update on what's going on in Ohio. The 18-year-old Somalian, his name is what?
His real name is Abdul Razak Ali Artan, going by Abdul Artan. But it's kind of hard to decipher names. Sometimes they leave out one or add another. He's also known as Artan Muhammad. So sometimes it's
okay.
difficult to know which name they actually use. But that is his real name.
There's a reason why I wanted you to state it, because there's no way I was going to be able to do it. Now, what do we know about this guy?
That's one of the easier ones. He's been here for about 7 years. He's only been in the Columbus area for the last few. He was in Dallas, Texas prior to this. He had actually lived in Pakistan for several years, has quite a large family, a large number of siblings, and apparently was a student on campus. So, you know, he was known to some people on campus. Of course, you know, they're going with, we don't know the motive. He actually, as we had spoken about earlier, got right out of the playbook. There was a video actually from one of the ISIS leaders that had actually shown how to use blades instead of weapons. So this was something that he apparently had posted on social media at one point. It is now gone. But so they, you know, searching for a motive when the motive is actually right underneath our noses.
Yeah, you know, it's always interesting. And this is the difference between what you see on the networks and where you can really have an honest conversation, which is right here on WTN and talk radio, because I'm looking at the TV. I mean, it's laughable. It is laughable when you see on, you know, CNN or Fox News, motive is unclear. How many different times do we have to read motive is unclear when the motive is as obvious as the nose on your face? I mean, Kathy, you and I talked about in the 12 o'clock hour about how this is indeed, and most people who were listening at 12 have now moved on, and we got a whole new listeners right here to 2:38. So we can revisit this just a bit. There were two magazines, Radical Islamic Terrorism magazines, and they did call for exactly this kind of attack there at anywhere, but at Ohio State University. And what happened is somebody turned on the fire alarm. And so you've got all these people that are exiting this building there on the college campus. And then this person, whatever his name was, ran over all these people, then jumped out and started stabbing them. And so we know that he's been, you said, in the United States for about 7 years. So that means that he came here. Is this what you would call, Kathy, a second-generation migrant?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And sometimes these are the more radicalized because they are not assimilating into society, their parents, their families, and they have great extended families usually with them.
Right.
And so they're not, you know, being forced to assimilate into our culture. They're being, you know, separated, and that's where the, you know, resentment and the radicalization comes in. So some of the other things that I'm also just hearing from my source is that the alarm was pulled first And this person waited until the fire trucks were leaving and the college students were actually still standing, starting to really huddle before they went back in. And that's when he got back in and jumped the curb and tried to run as many over as possible. So as you were saying, though, this is exactly out of the two ISIS magazines, Rumania and Dabiq. Both of them have gone into extensive descriptions of how to stab someone and how to run people over, even going as far as to say what blades they should use and what cars they should use.
Kathy, I got a question, and I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or tooting my own horn or whatever it is, but you know, you look at CNN, you look at Fox News, and I am immersed in this stuff every day. You and Michael, far more than I am, but I look at this stuff regularly. And so I see Fox News and CNN and others, and it's like they're grappling for some sort of a reason why. And I have not seen once, and maybe they did when I wasn't looking, but I haven't seen once where they said, yeah, in these two magazines, this is exactly what ISIS has been calling for. Running over people with a vehicle like we saw in France and using a knife to take people out like ISIS has been calling for. I haven't seen that anywhere on TV at all. It's just on the airwaves of talk radio where there's all that hate mongering going on, Kathy, as you know, and also online. And so this is what I don't understand is to me. And the second this went down and Michael and I were talking out on the patio, and we got the note that said, yeah, here's exactly what the MO of this guy was. How come, is there a hesitation in the media not to connect these dots, or do they feel like it's some sort of a responsibility of theirs not to report or not to connect these dots that are so easily connectable? I mean, it took me half a second, and it took Michael even less than that.
Yeah. Well, it's that whole culture of political correctness that we're seeing in most of the news, being reported here in this country. We just don't want to offend anyone. No one wants to be the first one to come out and say that, you know, this is who he was, this is what he believes, and this is what he's following. Now, these magazines are both, you know, they're available on the network. They're available on my website. People can look at them, and I would suggest people do look at them to actually see, that these guys are playing from their own doctrine and from these magazines. So it's just the political correctness. No one wants to offend a religious community. Everyone is worried about the backlash that'll happen to the Muslim community. You know, if once again the perpetrator, as we know, he was a Muslim. So there's a lot of kind of do good, feel good type, reactions that, oh, we can't blame everybody, for this one person. Well, this one person is adding up to be several in this country that we've had, terrorist attacks from. So I think that it's, it's not painting that whole picture with a broad brush, but it is what it is. And so if it's the doctrine of Islam, and it's the same Islam here as practiced in the Middle East. And that's what I think people need to understand.
This is pretty fairly cut and dry crime. I mean, you get a car, you run a bunch of people over that are standing in a group, then you jump out and you start stabbing people. In your experience, is this the kind of attack, and this is a terrorist attack, is this the kind of attack that needs support, or in your experience, is this just one guy who was radicalized?
No, this has a base, ideology. A lot of people will refer to him as a lone wolf. Right. I don't believe there is such a thing. They are radicalized from a group, from an ideology abroad that has, its tentacles pretty much everywhere. So he may have acted alone, but the ideology certainly was not that of a lone wolf. I don't believe there's a difference in being inspired and directed. I think that if they're following a magazine, what the magazine dictates and the ideology dictates that they do, they are, committing the act. It isn't a matter of being inspired by anything. I think they use those words kind of loosely. And so, there is no such thing, I do not believe, as a lone wolf. They are acting from an ideology with the support of thousands of the same that share that ideology and that mindset. So, they may have perpetrated it by themselves, but they had the support of thousands of people. I think we're going to see a lot of this, but certainly the venues are changing, and that's what I think we need to be aware of, too. And I think that's what saved a lot of people, was that awareness you know, that something was happening. So thankfully.
So we know that this happened, of course, as we've been reporting, at Ohio State University. Talk about, briefly, Kathy, talk about the amount of radicalization that is happening these days on universities across America. We don't know if this is where he was radicalized, but certainly there is there are pockets of radicalization that is happening in campuses across America, just like we see it in mosques and in basements and garages as well. But talk about the particular threats that's happening on the universities across America.
Well, a lot of these campuses are allowing these organizations that are related to the Muslim Brotherhood and to other organizations who have this same ideology, because they all follow the doctrine, such as Muslim Student Associations. We have the Students for Justice in Palestine. They are all very active throughout this country. They are anti-American, anti-Jew. I mean, you name it, they are anti. So, you know, they allow these organizations to be on college campuses. A lot of times they're funded from the states, but they are the point for these people to go to radicalize. They are proclaiming that they are, you know, faith-based organizations that contain very pious students, but yet, you know, when they have their meetings that are shutting out most of the majority of other students, this is where they're planning, you know, whether it's protests or, you know, acts like this. Apparently this kid was unhappy with what was happening in Burma, with Muslims being killed. So, you know, they are getting the ideas from a lot of these organizations. And so if you have a Muslim Student Association on your college campus, you should be aware. If you have a Students for Justice in Palestine, certainly be aware. They are very anti-Jewish, and they are almost dangerous to this point. So there is a lot of radicalization, even on some of our private bigger campuses like Vanderbilt and Lipscomb. So these things are existing. People want to say, oh, you know, it's only for those that are over there or the alternate right or whatever they want to say we are. But I think people need to wake up, and certainly that it is happening on college campuses is even more so why people should be waking up.
Kathy Hinners, thank you very much for all of your help today, and you have a great afternoon. My name is Dan Mandis. It is 2:47 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. And it is fascinating, and I've always found this fascinating. And somebody sent me a great meme, actually posted it on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. This is from Jeff. And it's a meme, and it's a news guy, and it goes right in along with what I was saying. It's a news guy, and it says, let's not jump to conclusions, and he is a Muslim. Absolutely right. I'm watching Fox News, and I'm watching CNN. And I've been telling you, and Michael certainly, and Kathy, and a lot of us have been saying for how long now? This is what ISIS is calling for. And as I said during the interview with Kathy, the second I heard that the guy ran over people with a car and then he jumped out and he started knifing people, I said, my God, that is exactly what ISIS has been calling for. So while I watch the news and they're grappling for, oh my gosh, why did he do this and what was the motivation? Well, for the love of Pete, man, come on. Are you really that stupid? But I understand, as Kathy said, it's all about political correctness. It's 2:48 on WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. 2:56 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Gents, back in the other room. Line 7 is for you, if you would so be so inclined to pick up the phone. This is how we do it when Craig's not here. I know. The informality of the talk show host is amazing. So give me an update, Pamela, because from what I understand now, Fox News has finally come out and said it is a 18-year-old Somali male. We had the good interview with, of course, Kathy Hinners. Mm-hmm. Do we know anything else about what's been happening there in Ohio State University? Anything new?
Nope.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
We are as up to speed as anybody else, so thank you.
Exactly. I mean, I'm actually kind of, if I may pat ourselves on the back with our sources, we've actually been very, very on top of this, more so than even some of the national networks. I'm just saying.
Pamela?
Yeah?
You're absolutely right. You have done a heck of a job.
No, I don't mean me. I mean you.
As have I.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As have Kathy Hinners.
Yeah.
On occasion, we managed to get it right around here.
I know. That's pretty amazing.
My favorite part of the – I wish Craig was here. We could rewind the tape. Because in your newscast, when you hit the dude's name, You were so careful. You nailed his name. It was very, very good.
And then you heard me butcher the correspondent's name.
I wasn't going to bring that up. See, I'm trying to throw you props, man.
Well, you know, I just want to be real. I'm trying to be real.
All right, very good. Yeah, if there's anything else we are around here, it is certainly real.
Right?
Warts and all.
I'm so curious now. It's killing me.
What's that?
Who on earth would have called line 7? I want to know.
It was Doogie. It's
for
the
okay.
love of Pete. Well, really? You're focused on?
For whatever reason, I suddenly just was obsessed with who is it? I wanted to know.
Okay.
Since you said it on the air and told everybody, I'm like, now you want to know who it is. It's Michael Vance.
For people who don't know, line 7 is the bat line, the hotline here at the radio station. So that was Doogie. Anyway, thank you. By the way, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. We didn't have much of a chance to chat, Pamela, but I hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I did. And, thank you for asking.
Well, I didn't ask, I'm just acknowledging. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Now, that was me pointing out the fact that you didn't ask at all. I was being sarcastic.
Oh, is that what that
you
was?
You didn't care about me at all.
Oh, stop it. It's coming up on 3 o'clock here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. The coverage continues of what happened at Ohio State University, the terrorist attack, with Phil Valentine coming up next at 3:06. It is the Dan Mandis Show. Appreciate you listening here on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.